Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. Welcome to those of you who are watching this at home. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and it is wonderful to be back with all of you here in Hoyleton after being away last Sunday. And big thanks to Pastor Perry Schaffelker for filling in while I was away. Today, it is a special day on the church calendar, and you might have guessed that from looking at the red stole and the red up here on the altar. Today we are celebrating the festival of St. James the Elder, which is something that comes up whenever July 25th falls on a Sunday. And so today we are going to be looking at the life of St. James, who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And not so that we can celebrate just James or worship James, but certainly whenever we have a saint day come up on the calendar, it's so that we can see even clearly how we can be close to Jesus Christ, right? How the life of St. James can point us to our Lord and Savior Jesus. And that's what really any time we gather together as God's people, that's what it's really all about, to gather together in the name of Jesus and to receive his gifts. All of the hymns and the readings we have for the service today are going to help us to remember the life of St. James, and we're going to be using Divine Service Setting 3 as our liturgy today, which can be found in the hymnal starting on page 184. So I'll invite the congregation to please stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is O Almighty God, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Service now continues with the introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who exult in your name all the day. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord. And shall not Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. O gracious God, your servant and apostle James was the first among the 12 to suffer martyrdom for the name of Jesus Christ. Pour out upon the leaders of your church that spirit of self-denying service, that they may forsake all false and passing allurements and follow Christ alone, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The first reading appointed for the Feast of St. James the Elder comes to us from the book of Acts, chapters 11 and 12, beginning with chapter 11, verse 27. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue now with the gradual, which is on the inside cover of the bulletin. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Their voice has gone out to all the earth.
And their words to the ends of the world.
The epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning with verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith, along with millions of Christians around the world. Today, we will use the words of the Apostles' Creed, which are printed for you on page 192. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I'd like to invite our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning!
Good morning, Pastor Walker.
Takes a while to get all that out. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good. Even on a cloudy, drizzly day, we're good, right? We're good because we're good in Christ. I wanted to ask you guys, have you watched anything good on TV lately? Some of you have. Have any of you watched any sports on TV lately?
Yes.
Is there a really big event going on right now on the other side of the world that some of you have been watching lately? What is it?
Olympics.
The Olympics. That's right. The Olympics. The Olympics are a really cool event that takes place every 4 years for the summer and every 4 years in the winter, and so we get to watch them pretty much every 2 years. Now, this year's Olympics got delayed a little bit because of COVID-19, but it's going on right now in Tokyo, Japan. And so we've been watching some Olympic games at home the last couple days. Anybody see some sports on TV that you don't normally get to see?
Swimming,
okay. What else? Soccer with your hands, yeah, like handball, right? Water polo. I got to see some badminton yesterday, right? It's pretty cool stuff. So I was thinking that maybe we could have a little bit of a competition here since we got the Olympics going on. We're kind of in the Olympic spirit. And when we watch the Olympics and all of the Olympians on TV, a lot of times we say to ourselves, how can they do such amazing things, right? And sometimes we start to think, could we ever do those things? Well, maybe with a lot of hard work and a lot of training, we could become Olympians ourselves. I think that ship has probably sailed for me, but I was thinking we could do a little contest here that probably doesn't require any training at all. Because what I want to see is which one of you can tell a joke that's going to make me laugh the hardest. Because I know all of you have good jokes inside, right? World Wide West, he wants to go first. Here, come on up here, bud. I've got a little microphone for you. All right. Tell me a joke. See how you can make me laugh.
What do you... Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow. I get it. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right, Evie, come on up here. I like the interrupting cow joke. All right, Evie, here, it's your turn.
What's your name?
What's my name? Pastor Wallenberg.
What's this?
Your nose.
What's between my hands?
Nothing.
Pastor knows nothing.
Boo! Winnie, come on up. You don't want to? Okay, Zoe, come on. It's all right.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Orange, you glad I didn't say banana?
That's a good one, Buck. Come on up. You got a good joke?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Banana. Banana. Banana who? You don't ask a question.
You know what? I think you're gonna win the gold medal. Come on up here. Come on back up here. Because I definitely laughed the hardest at that one. So if you win the gold medal at the Olympics, you get to stand up on this podium. So come on up here. There you go. You get to stand on the platform. Let's turn around. Right? But I don't have a real gold medal. So I have paper clips. And I have a picture of cheese. A golden wheel of cheese for the cheesiest joke. Good job, bud. All right, you can go have and... All right. So what in the world does this have to do with our Bible story today? That's the big question. So listen up, guys. So in today's gospel reading, today we're talking all about a guy named St. James, who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And James and his brother John, in our gospel reading today, wanted to be in first place. Just like Olympians want to be in first place, James and John asked Jesus if when he comes into his glory, could they be at his right hand and on his left hand? Or other way around for you guys. Right hand and left hand. Right? They wanted to be powerful in Jesus' kingdom. They wanted to be almost as powerful as Jesus himself. So they thought by asking to be on the right hand and left hand of Jesus, that was going to be like winning a gold medal in the Olympics. But what Jesus ended up telling them was, actually, to be alongside Jesus in his glory, as Christians, that means we would have to be alongside Jesus as he's suffering and dying on the cross for the sins of the whole world. So they thought they were asking for a gold medal. What it turned out was they were actually asking for something that would be even worse than wearing paper clips and a picture of golden cheese. Right? If we walked around wearing cheese around our necks, people might think that was kind of funny, right? They might point and laugh and say, what's the deal with that? Why are you wearing cheese around your neck? But if we as Christians are going to be alongside Jesus in his glory, it might mean things that are even worse. Christians have bad days too, right? Christians suffer sometimes. Sometimes people make fun of us because of our faith. Sometimes bad things happen to us in this world. But you know what? Jesus goes before us. He is our leader, and he has actually already gone under all of the things, all of the bad things that can happen have already happened to Jesus so that you and I really will receive the glory of heaven. Someday, we're going to stand before the throne of the Lord. We're going to live forever worshiping our King Jesus. And all of us are going to have even greater than a gold medal. For all eternity, we are going to live forever in heaven. That's going to be awesome. And it's all because Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins. So we get to be all in first place. Isn't that awesome? Because of Jesus. So let's go to God in prayer. Let's fold our hands and bow our heads, and you can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross and taking away our sin. And we thank you for winning us the prize of eternal life in heaven with you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. And for the rest of us, our sermon hymn will be number 518. And please note that the second verse, we're going to skip ahead to verse 21. That's the verse that deals specifically with St. James the Elder. So it'll be verses 1 and then 21 and back to verse 3. Please stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. It just occurred to me that the cheesiest joke would have been if I had said we had hammy and cheese up here. Yeah, okay. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from Mark chapter 10. This passage on St. James Day that features St. James as one of its main characters. James and his brother John go up to Jesus and they ask him to be on his right hand and his left hand in his glory. Jesus has to redirect their thinking to help them to realize what true glory really means. True glory looks like service, service to God, service to our neighbors. For Jesus specifically, that service culminates in Good Friday, his suffering and death for the salvation of the world. We give thanks to God that because of that event, because of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are the ones who receive the glories of heaven, the same glories that are even greater than what James and John were asking for here in Mark 10. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there's this old famous cathedral that sits in the northwest corner of Spain. I mean, almost as far as you can go before you hit the Atlantic Ocean. And the cathedral has been there for over 800 years. The name of the cathedral is Santiago de Compostela, which was named for the apostle that we are remembering and focusing on in our worship today, named for Saint James the Elder. How does that work? Well, in Spanish, one of the many ways that you can translate the name James into Spanish is Iago. So if you have Sant Iago, that means Saint Iago, Saint James. So anytime you see that as a last name, the name of a city or something like that, it's named after St. James, Santiago. And also, just so that we're on the same page from the very beginning, I know that there are multiple characters named James throughout the New Testament. So just to kind of clear that one up, the one that we refer to as St. James the Elder is the one who was St. John's big brother. They were fishermen together. Their father was Zebedee. When Jesus called them to be his disciples, they immediately left their father in the boat and they went and followed Jesus. James got to be one of the three that were the inner circle of Jesus throughout his ministry. So a lot of times we lump Peter, James, and John together. The three of them got to experience things that none of the other nine disciples got to see or do. And so it's kind of amazing because James really had, you know, some greater standing among the other disciples, and yet we know less about James, certainly, than we do about Peter and John. We know much less about James's life. And I think part of the reason for that is actually because of what we find out in our first reading today in Acts chapter 12. We find out that James was the first out of all of the 12 disciples to be killed as a martyr. And so there's just this short period of time in between Jesus ascending into heaven and James being struck down with the sword by King Herod. There's just these few years in between, and we don't really know much about what was going on in James's life or any kind of ministry that he might have been involved with. These are just sort of like lost years in terms of our understanding of the history. And so that actually brings me back to the cathedral that I just mentioned, the cathedral in Spain, Santiago de Compostela. Because one of the attempts to sort of fill in that gap, those lost years, and try to piece together maybe what James was up to during that time, there's this legend that arose in Spain that basically says that James the Elder, after the ascension of Jesus, took this long journey and ended up in Spain. He was the one who brought the gospel to Spain. And they say that Santiago, that he is the reason why there are any Christian churches or communities in Spain that exist today. Some people even believe that after James was killed by Herod, that his followers came and took his remains and buried them in Spain at that very spot in the northwestern corner of the country where that cathedral has been built now. And I'm just going to pause here and just say, for the record, personally, I do not believe that legend is true, okay? Nothing against our Spanish Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. It's just that, you know, St. Luke was very, very thorough in the way that he put together the book of Acts. I think that if James had really made such an amazing journey during those years, there probably would have been some mention of that in the book of Acts, and most modern church historians believe that it's very unlikely that the legend is true. But this tradition has gone on over the years. And actually, for 1,000 years now, 1,000 years, a millennium, there's been this tradition of St. James called El Camino de Santiago, which is translated as the Way of St. James. What that means is there are pilgrims from all over Europe that make this pilgrimage on foot, mind you, all the way to the site where that cathedral sits. Something like 300,000 people every single year make this journey to this cathedral, Santiago de Compostela. And actually, there was a movie that came out 10 years ago starring Martin Sheen called The Way. And that got a bunch of Americans interested in it. So now they have all these tourists who go and add to those numbers, right? So you've got like pilgrims, but you also have these touristy pilgrims, as if that could really be a thing. And there's been this influx over the last decade or so. All of these people who are going to that place. Now, on a year like this year, when St. James Day falls on a Sunday like it does today, the pilgrims who arrive at the cathedral get a prize. And the prize is none other than an indulgence. I don't know if you remember from your Reformation history, it's those little pieces of paper that promise you forgiveness of all of your sins. This is what Martin Luther was railing against in his 95 Theses 500 years ago. They still hand out these indulgences to this day. There's going to be a lot of indulgences handed out today at Compostela to all of these pilgrims who make this journey, believing that by making the pilgrimage, they are going to earn the glories of heaven. So it's an old tradition. It's an interesting tradition. You have these devout Roman Catholics who believe with all of their heart that Santiago, St. James, is the patron saint of Spain, that he is right now interceding for them and doing whatever he can in heaven to protect them somehow. You have pilgrims who believe that by making this pilgrimage, they are going to earn the glories of heaven. But of course, as good Lutherans, we would have to say, we understand this has nothing to do with the way Scripture talks about eternal glory in heaven and how a person receives that eternal glory, right? The focus is completely in the wrong place. Because the focus is upon ourselves and what we can do and what we can earn rather than on where our focus should always be, which is the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's amazing because that's the exact point that Jesus is making to St. James himself in this gospel text here in Mark chapter 10. Because just like these pilgrims who make this journey to the cathedral, Jesus is leading his disciples on a journey here in Mark chapter 10. This passage takes place right after the transfiguration. So Jesus, at this point, where he's leading the people, he has set his face toward Jerusalem. He is getting ready to go to the holy city and to suffer and die for the salvation of the entire world. But the disciples don't get it yet. They just don't understand it. He's predicted his own death at this point 3 times in Mark's gospel, and they still don't understand why they're heading to Jerusalem. And James and John seem like they are among the most clueless just based on what they ask Jesus here in verse 37. Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. They're thinking that when they finally get to Jerusalem, that's when this amazing man who has been doing all of these miraculous things all around Galilee, these amazing healings and all of these things that nobody else can do, and who also, just by the way, showed them a glimpse of his divine glory when he was shining brighter than the sun on the Mountain of Transfiguration, which only James and John and Peter got to actually witness and see. They're thinking that when they finally get to Jerusalem, that's when this man is finally going to unleash all of his power, when he's going to finally overthrow the government, when he's going to finally establish the earthly new kingdom of Israel. And James and John want to call dibs. They want to call shotgun, right? They want to be first in line. They want to have the power. When it's all said and done, they want to be the second and third in command. They want to be right there at Jesus' right and at his left, but they got it all wrong. They think that they're going to have all this power and authority and wealth and fame. But Jesus points out to them, they don't actually know what it is they're asking for. Jesus makes it pretty clear here that following him on his pilgrimage is going to lead to suffering and death. It's going to lead to what Jesus calls drinking his cup or being baptized with his baptism. And in this case, he's referring to the cup of the Father's wrath and a baptism of blood. And amazingly, that's where true glory is found. Because the reality is that the cross of Jesus Christ turns everything that we understand in the world upside down. Because Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves, all of sinful humanity is reconciled to the Father. As soon as you have that moment where Jesus cries out, "It is finished," and he breathes his last, all who believe in Jesus Christ are given the guarantee of heavenly glory, which will last forever and ever and ever. And so what that means is all of these things that we used to think are so important here on earth, all of a sudden don't become so important after all. All those things that James and John might have been dreaming about when they asked to sit at the right hand or the left hand of earthly King Jesus, or even if James could have somehow seen the future, that someday, 1,000 years later, they were going to build this ginormous cathedral in his name, Santiago, and people from all over the world would travel to pay homage to him and to receive forgiveness of sins in his name. Even if James could have imagined that that would happen, none of that would compare to the glory of Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing about that is that here on earth, that glory of Jesus Christ does not always appear so glorious. Jesus says here in verse 40, that to sit on his right hand or on his left hand is, quote, for those for whom it has been prepared. Because the true moment of glory, the true moment of triumph, is the moment when Jesus is hanging upon the cross. And the places to his right and the places to his left in that moment are already occupied by thieves who are being crucified alongside him. I'm sure that's not exactly what James and John had in mind when they asked to be on Jesus' right and left in his glory. But when you look at that scene through the lens of the cross of Christ and with the eyes of faith, you realize there's no greater place for any of us to be. We are crucified with Christ. And because of that, we live forever. All of us are on some sort of pilgrimage as we go about life, as we travel from baptism to earthly death and beyond. All of us are on El Camino. We're on the way, but it's not El Camino de Santiago, right? It's not the way of St. James. It's El Camino del Camino. It's the way of the way. It's El Camino de Jesucristo. It's El Camino, the way of Jesus Christ. Got to brush up on our Spanish here, right? That is the way that we are on. We are all pilgrims following in the footsteps of Jesus. But because of that, sometimes this journey here on earth doesn't always appear very glorious either. So we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we feel the darkness closing in all around us. And yet, even when that takes place, we don't lose heart, because we know, like what Paul says in today's epistle reading, we know that this is true, that all things work together for the good of those who love God, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So if we end up facing difficult things, if we face opposition or persecution from forces in the world that hate our Lord and hate His church, if we're tired of hearing all those voices on TV and online that ridicule Christians for their faith, or even if it got worse than that, even if our experience was more like the apostles themselves, if God forbid, we would end up in exile like St. John, or that we would be killed like St. James and all the other apostles too, we still rejoice that our Lord Jesus Christ has already gone before us, that He has already taken a drink from the cup, so that the cup we drink is not filled with the Father's wrath, but filled with His mercy, filled with His grace. That Jesus has already been baptized in blood so that we could be baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. That Jesus' pilgrimage led to His death on Good Friday so that our pilgrimage would lead to eternal life in Him. There's so much more waiting for us at the end of El Camino, the way, than just a big, shiny cathedral and a piece of paper with these empty promises of forgiveness that you yourself have earned, right? We are on the way of Christ. So the glory isn't going to be found in us. It's not going to be found in St. James or any of the other apostles. But the glory will be the one that we all experience together when we're standing together with James and John and the others and the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, when we together will forever live in the true glory of El Camino, the way, the truth, and the life. In His most holy and precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand as we sing together the offertory. You may be seated. And at this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. In our prayers today, there are a number of updates for you that I'll bring to your attention. You'll see now listed in care facilities, we have moved Frances Reeder there, and some of you may know she's been dealing with some heart trouble over the last couple of months, and one of the things that that means is that right now she's not currently able to live in her home, and so she has recently moved to the Fireside House in Centralia, and so we'll continue to pray for her under the care facilities list there. Also, today we are lifting in prayer Paxton Kincaid. We continue to pray for him. He is now recovering from his successful surgery. We are also adding to the list, this is not in your bulletin, but Steve Tinsley, that is a friend of the Selly family who is recovering from recent heart surgery and has a long way to go in his recovery. Upcoming surgery for Mike Mentor will take place tomorrow. He's having hip surgery tomorrow. And we have added to our ongoing health prayer list Zachary Brinkman. That is the son of Ryan and Becky Brinkman. This is a young man from, he's a member at St. John's in New Minden, been fighting a rare disease, and so we have been asked to include him in our prayers going forward. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Great are you, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. You rule earth and sea and sky. We give you thanks for the blessings of creation and life that come from your abundant goodness. Give to your church boldness to speak of your awesome deeds and sing always of your righteousness, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Be glorified in your church. Ground us in love. Give us a faith rooted in the promises of Christ. And give us strength to comprehend with all the saints his love that surpasses knowledge. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, St. Luke's Lutheran in Covington, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of might, spare us and future generations from wickedness. Give blessing to our nation and its leaders to rule according to your good pleasure. Protect the police and other first responders and public servants, and also the members of the armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Oh God, we praise you for all of your mercies here on earth. We continue to pray for favorable weather. We thank you for the rain which has watered the earth this morning. We pray that you would bless and protect those who work out in the fields and that you would lead us to an abundant harvest. We also rejoice with those who rejoice, and we lift before you all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Austin, Holly, Elaine, Marvin, Thomas, Alexis, Greg, Gary, Orville, Scott, Kipton, Addison, Elise, Charles, and Elliot. May we all look to you for strength and mercy year in and year out. And be with all of the married couples of our congregation, especially those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Daryl and Lucy Mashoff and Mike and Tina Hannenberger. May they grow in love for you and for each other each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, through your Son and his reconciling death, we receive all good gifts, healing, and sustenance. We bring before you the sick and those in need, especially those who are on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, including Laura, Lorna, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Francis, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you both Paxton and Steve as they recover from their recent surgeries. We lift Mike before your throne as he looks ahead to his surgery tomorrow. And we pray for all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Zachary, Roy, Marvin, Amy, Ray, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Chris, Jean, Sam, Craig, Laverne, Gretchen, Diane, and all those who are fighting cancer. Give them healing and protection, and encourage them in the midst of this life by the recognition of your fatherly providence known in Christ our Savior. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is number 856. O Christ who called the 12.
Thank you.
Good morning. We have a few announcements that I wanted to bring to your attention before we leave today. School is going to be here soon. The school year is beginning very shortly. Just 3 Sundays from now is our opening service. And so there are a couple of notes related to the school in the bulletin this week. We do have opportunities for enrollment, registration. If you haven't done that yet, or you know somebody who needs to, if you would send them our way, and they can speak with Jane or with Mr. Schaff in the school office. Also, we are looking for a part-time aide for our preschool classroom. That's going to be a Monday through Friday position from 8 in the morning until 11:30. So if you know anybody who might be interested in that, if you would send them our way as well, we'd appreciate that. And then coming up this next week, I know I just got back from my vacation, but I'm going out of town again. And so I've been asked to officiate a wedding down in Texas, so I will be leaving with my family this coming Tuesday morning, and God willing, we will be returning on Monday evening, August 2nd. And so next Sunday, there will be a guest preacher again. This time, it will be Pastor Dave Andrews. Some of you might remember him. He was the director of the Not Alone Ministry to the Blind, which is based in St. Louis, and he himself is also blind. He will be coming and leading our worship next Sunday. If there are any pastoral emergencies that arrive while I am out of town, Pastor Roger Drinnen from Olive Branch in Frogtown is on call for me, and his phone number is in the bulletin, or you can contact Jane in the office and she can get a hold of him as well. Along with that, just mentioning that there will not be a midweek Bible study this Wednesday morning, so we're going to take this Wednesday off, and then we will resume then the following Wednesday, which will be August 4th. And then just a couple other quick things. I did mention before the prayers about Frances Reeder moving to the Fireside House. There is an address for her printed in the bulletin today. Many of you know how faithful she has been in sending cards to others, and so it would be really wonderful if our congregation could support her now and send her some cards. I'm sure she would love to hear from all of you. In addition to that, we also have an address for Helen Quaid, who recently moved up to Naperville and is in a nursing home up there. So if you'd like to send a card to Helen as well, that's there for you in the bulletin today. I just wanted to point that out. Something that is not in today's bulletin that I wanted to bring to your attention is that 2 Sundays from now, so August 8th, we will have an opportunity to support our seminarians. We have 2 members of our congregation who are going to be at the seminary together this fall. Brett Jones, who was our former school principal, and also Ethan Beester, who is beginning his studies this fall. And so we want to have a door offering on August 8th to help support them, to defray the costs of seminary education. And so I just wanted to mention that now, since I'm not going to be here next Sunday, but 2 Sundays from now, if you'd please bring an offering for them, we would really, really appreciate that. And the last thing that I just wanted to say on behalf of my whole family is just thank you to the congregation, specifically thank you to the trustees, and thank you to those who were involved in the Parsonage Kitchen renovation project. It is absolutely amazing the transformation that has taken place in that kitchen, knocking down the wall between the kitchen and the dining room. It changes everything. It makes everything easier, food prep, hanging out around the island, just everything is wonderful. It's amazing how much work was done in such a short amount of time, and we are absolutely thrilled and just really, really thankful for everything that was done over there. I know a lot of you are anxious to see it, and you want to see pictures, and maybe you're frustrated that we haven't put that on Facebook yet. It is not yet 100% done. There's a couple more things that need to be done, and so we're sort of waiting for that. But also coming up in the next several weeks, we're going to plan an open house. So we're going to have an opportunity for all of you after church on a Sunday to come on over to the parsonage and see it for yourself. Because you really, I mean, pictures are one thing, but you got to see it. It's just absolutely amazing. So again, thank you to all of you who are involved with that. Thank you to those who helped bring meals to the guys as they were working. Thank you to those who helped clean up afterwards. Just from the bottom of our hearts, thank you, thank you, thank you. Are there any other announcements? All right, if not, enjoy this wonderful day. God's blessings to you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed week.